right now it's time to say a very good morning to Annette. And looking at matters nutritional this morning, type 2 diabetes. Annette, very good morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And welcome to the show on this slightly warmer than usual Thursday morning. It sounds or feels like summer is slowly but surely coming back.
Definitely.
But Annette, you mentioned this morning we're talking about type 2 diabetes.
Yes, so I know that we've spoken quite a bit about diabetes before, but I think there's always somebody new being diagnosed with diabetes or even insulin resistance. So I thought maybe this morning putting our focus either sort of insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes, because normally a type 2 diabetic, the preload of that would be something like being diagnosed with insulin resistance. Mm. And then obviously it can then evolve to type 2 diabetes. So this basically means type 2 diabetics in general, it means that our pancreas can still produce insulin, but our body doesn't know utilize insulin properly. Mm. And then that's really where the complications come, that you will battle with higher glucose levels, and then obviously it's difficult to control your glucose levels. So these people always wonder what to eat, and obviously concerned about what we are allowed to eat and what we are not allowed to eat. And I came across a very interesting concept on the American Diabetes Association's website, mm-hmm. whereas like I used to teach people a plate method as well, which was very successful. But then with using something like a plate method, you can actually, it takes away sort of weighing and the limitations, mm-hmm. and it allows a little bit of freedom for you to use what you've got at home. Also maybe, I think it's socially, it's much easier if you just have a picture in your mind about what really, if I put it together on a plate, will have a beneficial influence on my blood glucose levels, instead of maybe trying to stick to rules of you not allowed to do this and not allowed to do that. So, because there's not really one magic solution for a type 2 diabetic. What works for me might not work for you. So everybody needs to figure out their own way of actually getting to control their blood glucose levels, because the one thing that takes a huge part of blood glucose control would be the amount of carbohydrate that we do consume, mm-hmm. and the type of carbohydrate that we do consume as a type 2 diabetic. But because not everybody's state of type 2 diabetes is the same, the rules that works for me might not necessarily work for you. So it's very individualized. So always a good idea to see a dietitian if you struggle to maintain this. Mm-hmm. And so basically if you think about plate, what a type 2 diabetic wants to do is half of your plate, you want to fill with...
We lost you for a moment.
So the half of your plate we will fill with free vegetables. Mm-hmm. So if we talk about free vegetables, it means that these vegetables in 100 grams does not really contain a lot of carbohydrate. So that actually makes it possible for you to consume quite a bit of this to feel full, and then because it's quite it's vegetables, mm-hmm. you also obviously get your antioxidants. So, and mostly it should be green, because if you think of color, that's really what it is. So we think about things like our lettuce, cucumber, asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage, celery, also things like mushrooms, all your peppers, green pepper, yellow pepper, red pepper, things like your snap peas, snow peas, and then also things like, if you think about zucchini, patty pans, mm-hmm. a squash, the small green round squash that people might think is a pumpkin, but it falls sort of in the squash family, so the carbs are not a lot. So if you can fill half your plate with these vegetables, you are really good to go. So you can have quite a bit. And what makes it easy is if you just think about these vegetables in general, it doesn't really matter what you have in your fridge. So you can just use what you've got. You don't have to, if you follow a diet, maybe there's, for instance, green beans or pumpkin or whatever on there, but yes, maybe you don't have it today. So by thinking green, half your plate green with, and then obviously some of the peppers and the squash might be yellow and red, but that's sort of what we want to put in half of our plate. Then the other half of the plate we will then divide into two. Mm-hmm. So then the one part of that half will be the block where you can then put your protein.
Right.
Important when for a diabetic, because obviously when you are diagnosed as a diabetic, generally you immediately fall into the risk, a higher risk for heart disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have to take in mind the type of fat that we then consume as a type 2 diabetic. So when you choose protein, very important to make sure that it is lean. Mm-hmm. So whether it is chicken or fish or beef, or even something like, I don't want to say mutton, but or lamb, but whatever you choose must not have any fat.
Yes, yes.
Added to that specific protein, because then at least we're taking into account the fact for the risk of having, that risk for heart disease. So, yeah, fill your plate with some chicken, turkey, maybe hake or tuna, salmon, egg white, any sort of extra lean beef, mince. Even pork is not necessarily fatty, because when we look at pork, all the fat will always be on the outside. So you're lucky that if you remove that white fat on the outside, the piece that you are left over with are really lean.
Right.
Because it's not like a marbled fat. If we think about, for instance, like a ribeye steak, you can see the fat there.
Yeah.
Or like a fatty mutton chop, you can actually see the marbled fat there. So that's not really what we want. If you go for steaks, go for leaner ones that you can really just see a red piece of meat without white marbled fat. So that's sort of what you want to then fill that quarter of the plate with. The other quarter we would keep for carbohydrates, and actually I want to say carbohydrates and legumes. So if you are vegetarian, it becomes a little bit tricky, because even though something like beans, lentils, edamame beans, they are protein sources, they also contain carbohydrates.
Yes,
so it becomes a little bit tricky. So I would rather put them into that category in that quarter of the plate. So then that quarter of the plate, your portion should really be a half a cup or 100 grams.
Mm-hmm.
And then your carbohydrate, you should choose a whole grain option. For instance, let's say brown rice, lentils. If you want bread, something like a whole wheat bread, seed loaf, rye bread, a jacket potato, but stick to 100 grams or 125 mils. That is really your portion when it comes to carbohydrates. So because that is limited, if you then are really hungry, you should then focus on adding to the green side of your plate, the other half of the plate, with your free vegetables. So this is just an easy concept where you can then, without following strict rules, something like this seems to be very successful in helping you to control your blood glucose levels. And then what you eat, what you drink with your food or during a day is also important. So focus on stuff like water, obviously always the best to drink, but otherwise black tea, herbal teas, sugar-free drinks, so that you don't load your carbohydrate content that you consume on a daily basis with stuff that you are drinking. Sometimes people forget that what I drink can also add to the glucose control, because we don't necessarily sometimes think that what we drink is something that we actually eat.
Yes, yes. Or that it loads the numbers.
Yes, it also adds to the carbohydrate consumption in your daily basis. And because that's really the challenge, we should just know how to manage that. And generally, it's very successful. Mm-hmm. So my advice normally also to people would be keep a food diary for give or take 3 days. So take your your blood glucose in the morning. Write down what you had during the day and do a reading again maybe 2 hours after dinner. Mm-hmm. And do that for a few days, especially if you... when you start maybe introducing new habits, yes. Because you will actually... we can normally see as you follow this and you write down the numbers, you will actually get a trend in your diary about which things spikes your glucose levels.
Yes, yes.
So then it is a matter of changing that choice or maybe just reducing the portion. So those are really, I think this is a very easy concept. And I've done it a few times for people, and it's really, really successful. With an easy method like this, without really being stuck to strict rules, you can actually really get good results if you then do this on a daily basis in conjunction with the oral medicine that you are using. And then also very important, if you are a type 2 diabetic, to be physically active. So whether it is walking, you don't need to run or necessarily go to the gym or do something fancy, but brisk walk for 45 minutes on a daily basis will actually also help you to consume excess glucose that's floating around in your bloodstream. So a very effective way to also help to control your blood glucose levels, especially if you've got an office job where you're mainly in front of a screen or a laptop where you have to work daily. Make a choice to use your tea times or lunch times to do walking around instead of maybe just sitting. This will really also help to utilize that excess glucose
and sort of burn it off in a healthy way.
Yes, right. In a healthy way. Yes.
Netsi, just a question, maybe on for a little bit of clarity for maybe people that aren't quite sure of terms and terminology.
Yes.
Just first of all, I just want to confirm something that a person who's diabetic, they essentially shouldn't get hungry at any stage, correct? You know, they should, because that also triggers all kinds of imbalances in the blood sugar levels.
It is quite a good idea to stick to a routine in terms of food. For instance, if you think, and also small regular meals might help. So breakfast, lunch, supper, and then maybe snackies in between.
The correct snacks.
Because by dedication and following a routine in terms of eating, it helps the body to almost create a rhythm and to, I don't want to say plan ahead, but you actually assist your body in managing the struggle of controlling blood glucose levels. Having those routines.
Then another question also on of something that you mentioned. You mentioned free foods. Now, in the dieting concept, you've got certain foods that are free. In other words, they don't put on weight. Now, in the diabetic context, does that mean that those particular foods, you can maybe eat a little bit more of them and it won't upset the balance that you've already achieved?
Yes, so when I mentioned the non-starchy vegetables, the things like asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, your cabbage family, so the sprouts, also the peppers, celery, so the different colors of peppers, eggplants, mushrooms, green beans, spinach, and then obviously all your leaves, whether it's spinach or gula, whatever it might be. And then the squash family, like zucchinis and the yellow patty pans. And also tomatoes. So these things, they don't really contain a lot of carbohydrates. So because diabetics will be carbohydrate sensitive, because obviously carbohydrates gets turned into glucose, which the body needs to utilize. So that's really what we want to try and manage, because controlling blood glucose levels, that is the problem when it comes to being a type 2 diabetic. So with these foods, because they are not rich in carbohydrate, yes, if you feel hungry, it might be better to eat more spinach or boil more green beans or have more cauliflower or broccoli. I know it might actually have vegetables, but if you prepare them in the, or tomato, cucumber, lettuce, maybe you like red peppers or yellow peppers to eat them fresh. But that's really what you want. And then with all of that said, the cooking method is very important, because we either eat them fresh or boiled, blanched, steamed. Roast them without oil. Use things like, generally, if you put onions, cabbage, cauliflower, mushrooms together with just spice in a roasting tray, the vegetables naturally has got so much water that you actually don't have to add anything to them, but maybe a vegetable spice that you like. Okay. So don't clutter it with sauce or cheese or oil, because obviously we have to keep in mind the risk of heart disease. Yes. So then if we cook the wrong way and we cover it with fat and butter, we are defeating the purpose.
You're defeating the object of the exercise at the end of the day. Wow.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. And it's kind of, in a way, I mean, look, you know, people suffering with diabetes, it's something that they've got to learn to live with, but it's not the end of the world. You know, you can, with the correct planning, it's not going to affect your life too much if you just apply the principles.
No, and if you are diagnosed early, I'm thinking insulin resistance, if you get it right to get to your goal weight, generally it's very easy to manage. Mm. So my first advice would be, you don't have a BMI of 25, you have to make a plan to get your BMI to 25.
Okay.
Because that will make everything so much easier in your life.
And that's of course, another whole argument on the side.
Yes, for sure.
That affects things. But Unetsi, once again, very, very interesting. Thank you very much for the chat. And if somebody needs to find out more about what we talk about, how can they get in touch with you and make use of your services as a nutritionist?
They're more than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great, Unetsi. Thank you very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you. Take care. That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat. So very, very interesting.